Senate Committee on Judiciary, Wednesday, June 11th, 1975.
Well, first we have to, just a minute, please.
First things first, I got a attendance.
Well, that's right.
This is a public meeting anyway.
Yes, Senator Clark.
Attendance award.
Oh, look. Oh, I'm back at Angelica, and they're all mine, too, guys. No, they're mine. They're all my mommy. Thank you, everybody. I will share, though, because I didn't get to share my paper.
Now, there's an award for Senator Smith, too. The committee had a contest for the best remarks that came off the tape, and we're talking about Senate Bill 822, and I said, Senator Smith, what would you like to do, Senator Smith? And Smith says, I'd like to pass the bill out. Brown says, I don't think he has the votes. Smith says, well, ask me another question.
Thank you very much. My goodness. Appreciate that.
Thank you. Thank you.
Here, Bob, you get more, too.
Oh, I'll get one of these in my mouth.
He said any dummy can run the paper board.
Yeah, right. Membership card. Signed by Elizabeth Brown, Harriet Fort, Karen. Dear Senator Smith, in honor of your outstanding liberal voting record, Committee on Judiciary is hereby presenting you with the honorary membership of the American Civil Liberties Union.
Wait till that gets back home.
Please find your membership card attached. The award banquet will be held at the BAR Hall in Bern, July 4th, 1976.
No blacks admitted.
Justice Mary Hill Douglas will be the guest speaker, and Stevie Remington will present the award. Now that's marvelous. Thank you very much.
Beautiful.
I do have a card, too, don't worry.
Okay,
wait. Card-carrying member? Yeah.
Card-carrying member, that'll be easy.
That'll be on the wire in 3 minutes.
I'll put that right next to my toothless clam card.
Madam Chairman, I...
What's the bill number?
2068. As you recall, this bill was sent back here. I understand the principal argument was that the bill doesn't cover the PUC.
2068?
Yeah, this was a series of amendments to the Administrative Procedures Act. Just to give you a quick summary of what the bill does as it stands, it's one designed, I think probably there's some misunderstanding. I think it's probably unfortunate the bill has my name on it.
That's misunderstanding.
Because the bill was really the result of a committee consisting of Professor Hans Lindy and Dave Frohmeyer from the University of Oregon Law School, Hugh Smith, who's former chairman of the Oregon State Bar, and has been instrumental in getting the APA through the legislature, myself and Al Lowy. We also consulted at considerable length, both with the Secretary of State, and Chuck is here from the Secretary of State's office, and Judge Herb Schwab. Changes that were suggested in this bill were to basically to accommodate the views that were set forth by all those individuals. I think in summary, the bill, one, it ensures greater notice to citizens when agencies undertake rulemaking proceedings. Secondly, it requires both me and the Secretary of State to compile, index, and publish both procedural and substantive rules in a more orderly manner so that interested citizens have an easy way to get information about agency rules. Today, anyone who looks at the bulletin has a pretty difficult time really putting his finger on what the rule an agency has adopted. Three, and this is very important, is to provide for direct appeal to the Court of Appeals when the petitioner is contesting the validity of a rule, to require a citizen to have to go through the useless gesture of going through the circuit court because there is going to be an automatic appeal. It just seems to me as a waste of his time and the taxpayers. Fourth, it eliminates the governor's power to exempt agencies from the APA. Everyone agreed, and the governor's office agreed to this also. That power was no longer necessary, and I don't think it should be in the law. It was a necessary thing to have in there, I think, for the first 2 years of operation of the Act. Fifth, and this is an important thing in the bill, and this is Section 10, it provides that when an agency refuses to issue a null license, the person is entitled to a hearing. Today, he's not entitled to a hearing. The other changes involve the changes to the rules of evidence, and I think I don't think this is really a substantive change. I think it's merely a change of language to make it understandable to a layman. Because when you say that the rules of evidence in administrative proceedings are the same as those in equity, most laymen don't have the slightest idea what you're talking about. It codifies the rule of judicial review that was adopted by the Court of Appeals in the Von Weidelin case, an important rule from a standpoint of due process. It permits the use of depositions in administrative proceedings, and it clarifies the procedural requirements in contested cases. We would like to offer an amendment, Madam Chairman, and if you'll recall, the Senate passed Senate Bill 800, which provided for attorney's fees against the state in any case in which the state lost. I must admit I was a party to suggesting to the House Judiciary Committee that bill might maybe be altered, because I do think the fiscal impact would be dramatic. But I feel strongly, and I know Judge Schwab has testified to your committee, and I saw with him again today on this, that the Court of Appeals should have the authority to award attorney's fees to a petitioner whose opinion in an administrative proceeding. There are some cases that come up where an agency has been arbitrary, there is not much money in controversy, and I think that the state should be assessed for attorney's fees in those cases. I do not think that this is going to have any dramatic effect, but there are some cases where this is justified. And that is the purpose of the amendment. I think we have copies of them, right?
It
just simply provides that the Court of Appeals can award attorney fees in its discretion.
Senator Carson moves the amendment. Is there discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Carson?
Aye.
Robert?
Aye.
Smith?
Aye.
Madam Chairman?
Aye. I'd like to ask you in Section 5, on page 5. Where it mentions Senate Bill 381, and then also on page 3 on line 17, 381 is mentioned twice. Have you in any way diminished 381?
No, those were conforming amendments to make clear that we had to comply with in addition to the requirements of the 381.
And this in no way knocks down any part of 381 or modifies it.
Question. Please, where does it provide that you have to have hearings on the model rules? This came up on the floor, and there was a
good idea. Well, I must admit, Betty, and you may want to change that. That's in Section 6.
Right.
Under the present law, we do have to we go through the normal administrative process and adopt the model rules.
Send out notices and all that sort of thing.
Right. And the way this is written, I'd have to admit, Betty, that I'm not sure that it requires us to do so. We might, if that's a problem, John and I can work out something.
Well,
just a one-sentence division.
The question is, though, that I think you still have to have, when you adopt rules, you have to have the hearings and the requirements for the rules. The problem is that if you read just that section, it appears that the agency doesn't have to have the notice or hearing. And I think that my feeling was is that the at least Halleck and several others don't want that provision. They want to have the, even though Lees had the hearing on the model rules, they want the agency to adopt the rules without a hearing as well.
I think what we could do it is in sub 2 there on page 6, top of the page.
Lee, what I suggest, frankly, is that you require every agency to have a hearing when it's going to adopt the model rules. That's the easiest way to do it.
Do you want an actual hearing, or just that they shall comply with IA3? It's required to give notice if 10 persons or more.
Okay.
I think, John, can we just add a sentence and substitute there?
Take out that any agency may adopt without a hearing. Take that thing out. Lines 27, 28, 29, page 5.
Yeah. Well, what we do is take out, and without prior, any agency may adopt all or part of the model rules, but such adoption must be in accordance with ORS Chapter 183.
Right. Okay.
You move that?
I move that.
Is there any objection to the Carson Amendment? Hearing none, it's adopted. Wally, do you have any further questions?
Well, Betty, that was a good point that Robert had. If we could get somebody from outside council to reassure us on that 381, which is the other point that was brought up, I'm satisfied with the Attorney General's answer, but I think that it'd be helpful if we could find somebody else, legislative counsel, to assure. Who did the work on 381?
I really don't know. Let me say that we advised the governor to sign it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure they know down there, and John, okay. if you could.
We did not regard it.
Do you still have problems with the
house? No.
They
don't. Two or
motion on the go.
Move it out
to pass as amended. Discussion. Clerk, call the roll.
Harrison?
Aye.
Roberts?
Aye.
Smith?
Aye.
Madam Chairman?
Aye.
Can I make one other point? I did check with Jack Sokolowski. Ed raised the argument that the PUC ought to be put under APA. The PUC does not want to be placed. I happen to think there's some merit to that, but I don't think it's fair to the commissioner to put him in that position, and it would be opposed by both him and the industry.
Would it be possible for, this is probably up tomorrow, it's going to be up at all, get Al Lowry to give us a one-page, or you, somebody to give us a one-page explanation of a few pages?
This letter I wrote to Ed?
Yeah.
You want more than that?
Well, maybe section by section.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I know it's. I had to reread the bill myself. I had.
Well,
Alice. One of the problems is Alice on jury duty.
I know. I tried to get him since last Friday, and that.
And I'm sorry. I did not catch him in the calendar. I know it's a reconsideration.
Maybe we better pass the bill and jump him from the jury duty.
Need that? It's federal. I was
kind of
surprised. You didn't get knocked off.
Madam Chairman, on the tactics I think you're about to ask about a period, I have no private authorship, and I think that it got some negative votes because it was the Attorney General's bill, and I certainly don't want to give it any negative votes because it's carried by a member of the same party as the Attorney General. Would there be any advantage of letting somebody else carry it?
No, oh, I'll carry it.
I didn't see somebody with different political philosophy. I said, party. Well, we can decide that.
Yeah. Is Lowry going to be available?
Well,
almost had to get me. I don't want to be down there. He and I are the only ones that know anything about the bill in the office. I will. What is it? It'll come up tomorrow.
It'll never come up, and then
it'll
come up
tomorrow. If he's not there, I will spend the night with Mick to bring him so he is there. Okay.
Well,
Joan
understands it pretty well. It all depends on whether they listen. Ed's major argument was that all these exemptions are bad, and 99% of them are existing law. That was his major argument.
Is there any change in the exemption?
The only exemption is that we removed one. We removed the governor's exemption. The governor can exempt the exemption. Unfortunately, I'm not sure. Now, maybe we can take Section 2 out of the bill and restore the section. 183.315.
We found a couple that were different.
Madam Chairman, the only differences that I could see from the existing law were, one, that it did delete the governor's authority to exempt, and two, it brought, I think, about three other agencies under the application of the model rules as promulgated by the Attorney General. But there, I think PUC was one, the Employment Division, and maybe one other. But those are the only changes from the existing law.
This was not. Well, if you wanted to, you could amend two and just substitute two with 183.15, except amend that section to take the governor's exemption.
Does the governor want the exemption?
No. Oh, he has no objection. The reason for the governor's exemption was because when we passed the act in 71, we were afraid
of the correction.
Well, that ended up, we were afraid we were going to do some worse and hadn't properly taken care of some agency. And it ended up, we did need it because we had fouled up the correction. You just take out sub 5 and sub 6 of the present 183.315.
What do you think, Wally?
Well, it certainly defuses one more of Ed's arguments, in effect, but let's do it.
You understand the motion, then? Mm-hmm. Well, we have a motion to reconsider. It was no objection. We reconsidered the bill. John, you understand the motion? Is there any objection to the motion? Motion is adopted. Any other amendments? Senator Carson moves it out to pass as amended. Clerk, call the roll.
Carson?
Aye.
Roberts?
Aye.
Smith?
Aye.
Madam Chairman?
Aye. Thank you.
Thank you.
If you'll get us that material, please.
Yeah.
Steve, do you want to come up with your bill? This is the 3166 that deletes the moral turpitude. John's feeling is that in deleting moral turpitude, you leave any misdemeanor instead of limiting it to just misdemeanors that are involved with moral turpitude. He feels the expunction of crime, as I understand it, solves the problem so that it doesn't make any difference.
There may be some two cases too, Madam Journal, where it brings in something that wasn't considered before, but which ought to be. A person who had a minor violation of not to be licensed in the area, at least that ought to be considered, perhaps. I'm thinking for accountants or something like that, the person had a record of petty larceny, perhaps something should be taken into account. I think it protects people. I think it protects the citizens. I think it protects the individuals by removing arbitrariness and by setting up some grounds that are definable.
Well, I don't know what the committee's feeling is. I will vote to get the bill out, but I'm not comfortable with it. I'll vote for it, but
I don't want to carry it.
I'll vote for it too, but it's too big to carry. I'm going to have to spend 50 days studying. I'll vote for it, though.
It basically, I don't think, changes much substantively from what we did last session. My intention in presenting the bill to the legislature was to take this section 670.280, and put it in each one of the individual statutes, each one of the licensing statutes, because of the problem of people, for example, on licensing boards not realizing that we passed this last session. I got a call from an attorney in Portland, a guy who was a dentist, and had been convicted of a marijuana offense. And after he was placed on probation, after his time was up, he went back to the, and he was suspended while he was on probation, being a dentist, went back to the licensing board and wanted his license back. And they said, no, he can't have it back. And I assume the reason was they weren't aware of the fact that 670.280 was in law, and it was in the law because it was passed last session. Because it doesn't appear, if you look through the dental examiner laws, it's not in there. So what basically we did was just take that, I think you can look through, it'll take you a few minutes to read through it, but it just takes that one thing and repeats it over and over and over and over again. So it
isn't every licensing board.
Every licensing board in the statute. And I think the policy was set last session, and I think what this does is just show people where that policy is in the law.
Well, I'll make a motion and put it to vote, and I don't know what the vote will be, but for both reasons, neither Betty or I feel that we can carry it, so it would be a question then if you can get Cooker, if it does pass, if you can get Cooker, Fadley to carry it.
I've talked to, I haven't talked to him with Cooker, I've talked to him with Fadley, and I don't think he made a problem with that.
Okay.
Why don't we take it out of moral conduct?
Because of the fact that it's vague and undefinable, and my information was that when these things are being challenged, as they are being individually, they're found to be unconstitutionally vague. And so rather than take them one at a time, you have to have a court case on each single one, we just leave it all at once.
I move the bill out. Do pass. Discussion.
Madam Chairman,
yes.
We do have some conflict amendments up from Legislative Council, also amendments that bring in sections that were overlooked in preparing the bill, basically doing the same thing, though.
Were they overlooked? Did you mean to overlook
them? I don't know which ones you're mentioning. There were some conflict amendments to Senate Bill 30, but I don't know what else you have.
The others are, I'm pretty sure that they were simply overlooked, according to Mr. Neal from Legislative Council. One had to do with...
Are the conflict amendments prepared and ready?
Yes, they are.
I move we adopt the conflict amendments. Is there an objection to adopting the conflict amendments? Are there any further problems, John?
No, not that I can say.
Conflict plus the additional, or did you mean those two, Madam Chairman?
Do you want the additional?
I assume. I haven't seen them, but if they're... We've gone through this bill several times. It was an enormous drafting problem. It took a long time to do it, and we have had several places where we didn't pick up things originally.
I'm convinced that they are in keeping with the theory of the bill. They simply, I could go through and
right.
list those that are added.
You checked them?
Wish. Yes, I have.
All right, I'll move the adoption of the additional areas to strike the moral code. Is there objection to the amendment? The amendment's adopted. I move the bill out. Do pass as amended. Discussion? Clerk, call roll.
Harrison?
Aye.
Roberts?
Aye.
Mayor?
No.
Madam Chairman?
Aye. I'm sorry. If you look at 3290.
Sorry, Steve.
This is the proposed change to Lang's bill. You want to address the amendments, John?
Yes, Madam Chairman. The only major change that the amendments make, other than the amendments that were adopted to the bill yesterday, is that it now applies the requirement that say a sponsor list all of the public agencies, private organizations, or any other persons responsible for the bill. It says that they have to list them only when there's a specific formal request. The bill as it was printed and as it is currently before this committee, as it was amended yesterday, has a formal request associated only with a person other than a public agency or a private organization. This would apply the requirements that a sponsor lists these people whenever there's a formal request made by any private individual, a private organization, or a public agency. It keeps or maintains the amendments which you made, Senator Carson, yesterday. Statement, also the deletion of any criminal penalty.
Yep. Now, Madam Chairman, John, the phrase at whose specific formal request the measure is being introduced applies to A, B, and C?
That's correct. As the bill is printed, it applies only to C.
Madam Chairman, I'll move further the deletion on the next to last lines of Section 1, where it's for the specific request that the legislative procure drafting of a bill or measure. And my reason for doing it, put a period after of a drafted measure or bill. The problem I perceived, the same one I spoke, probably which I spoke on the floor, and that was that it's very easy to determine when somebody hands you a prepared formal request, the presentation mission providing a member of the committee a drafted measure or bill. Boom. Okay. That's very easy to understand. And I think I ought to be able to keep track of that and not run afoul of my conscience. I grant you there's no criminal penalty, but still I don't think anybody likes to sign a statement that later is proved to be false, whether it's a penalty or not. Or the specific request of the legislator to procure the drafting of a bill or measure. Well, does that mean in that it's a specific request? Somebody writes me a letter and says, please do something and reduce property tax. And that's a specific request. And or draw a bill, have a bill drawn. And write a bill, Senator Carson, to drop property taxes or to free the slaves or whatever it may be. If I don't include that person or that organization, I have violated the law here. And that's, we didn't talk about that yesterday that I recall, and that just kind of came up there. I think what happened is I asked Joe, well, then if somebody says specifically to me, will you please introduce a bill, but he didn't provide me with a bill, it's a way around the law. And I think what happened is Joe thought, he said, yes, that's right. He went back and thought about it, tried to plug it with this one. So that's my.
Senator Carson moves, as he said. Is there any objection to the motion? Motion is adopted. Any motion, any other amendments? Any motion on the bill? Well, I move we adopt the amendments as submitted to House Bill 3290. Is there objection? The amendments are adopted. I move House Bill 3290 out. Do pass as amended. Discussion. Clerk, call the roll.
Carson?
Aye.
Roberts?
No.
Smith?
No.
Madam Chairman?
Aye. 716. When we passed out 2579, the rap sheet bill, at a very late moment, we came to the conclusion that we might have included in the secret information the police blotters and the court records.
What's correct amendment?
This amendment to 716. 716 is a bill of Walter Brown, which he asked to have tabled, and it is tabled.
Germaine, what you're going to do?
Yeah, John thinks so. And Yeah, it's relating to public records. And just to make sure that we haven't done that, and I was reading from the regs at the same time I was reading from the bill, which I think made things confusing. I think it would be advisable to pass. Well, first we have to take it off the table.
Salute.
Carson moves to take it off
whatever.
The table. Set for 7:15. Any objections? 7:16 is off the table. Carson moves the amendments to 7:16 as prepared by John. Any objections? Carol moves. Senate Bill 7:16 as amended out and do pass. Clerk, call the roll.
Carson?
Aye.
Roberts?
Aye.
Nash?
Wouldn't mind putting in the elimination of section 17.
Aye.
Brown?
Everything's rolling your way now.
Aye.
Anyway, Madam Chairman, is there 2070, and it may not be appropriate, is the one, the centralizing of the UCC filings, is that just not appropriate to bring up?
It was brought up for a motion. Everyone was violently against it because there wasn't going to be local filing in the county.
Okay.
If you want it, bring it.
Well,
was everybody opposed?
I don't know who was here, but there was a
forum
of committee.
Forget it.
Okay. Thanks, sir.